Good evening. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good, isn't he? He is a good God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to just read a few entries from Health Food. I love reading this. I hope you do too. If you don't have this book, get it, or go online and get the email every day. But let me read a few entries here, a few of them. They be good. This this entry is from June 10th, a few days ago. It says, "Act on your faith." It said, "Years ago when my mother-in-law had a goiter, the Lord said to me, 'Tell her to go to the altar at your church on Wednesday night, and I will fill her with the Holy Ghost and complete her healing.' Now, if you stop to analyze some things, you might talk yourself right out of God's blessings. Why did she have to go to the altar at the Full Gospel Church on Wednesday night in order to receive? I don't know why at that time, but I told her what the Lord told me. On Wednesday night, we had a time of testifying and singing. I ministered a short sermon. My mother-in-law could tell that I was about to finish. She didn't even wait for me to say anything. She suddenly stood to her feet and said, 'I can't wait.' She came out from behind the pews and just sprawled out on the altar. By the time her knees hit the floor, she was talking in tongues. Later, I learned why God had her go to the altar." See, sometimes that's what I'm saying. You got to follow God, because he said he found out later why. It said, "She testified, 'I'd always said,'" this is his mother-in-law, "'I'd like to have the Holy Ghost. I can see that it's in the Bible, but there's one thing I'll never do. You'll never catch me in the altar of that Full Gospel Church." So she had said, "Ain't no way I'm going to that altar on that Full Gospel Church," right? He didn't know that, right? So, you see, my mother-in-law was Methodist, but she was in the altar of that Full Gospel Church that Wednesday night. And when she got up from the altar, the knot on her neck that was the size of a quarter was gone. It disappeared. Her healing was completed. You'll find that very often healing will begin in people's bodies, but it won't be completed until something is done, until people act on their faith. Meaning there may be something God has you do, right? See, there's some things, like he said, if you tried to analyze that and try to figure it out, you'd talk yourself out of it. Because you'd be like, what does that mean? But it meant something to her, not to him. Now this is another one. It says, "You can die without sickness and disease." This is from, today's entry, actually. "Older people are eventually going to live their life out and go home to heaven, but they don't have to die with sickness and disease." I like some of these names he has. Grandma Jeffcoat, that's a name for you, is a good example of this. She had stomach cancer. She came to live with her daughter who attended my church. Grandma Jeffcoat had just come from Brother J.R. Goodwin's church. He was her former pastor. Grandma Jeffcoat was so far gone physically that her family had already called Brother Goodwin to preach at her funeral. Her daughter said to me, "Brother Hagin, I want you to go see Mom." That would be her mother. Well, I began to talk to her mom, Grandma Jeffcoat, about healing. "Brother Hagin," she said, "just leave me alone. I'm 82 years old, and I've suffered so with cancer of the stomach. Please leave me alone and let me die. I'm saved and ready for heaven. Let me go on." And so Brother Hagin said, "I'm not going to do it. Let God heal you and then die if you want to. It's not the will of God that you die with stomach cancer." I knew that she was not going to be healed by my believing. She was going to, I knew that she was not going to be healed by my believing she was going to live while she believed that she was going to die. There was no agreement there. I didn't pray for her healing on the first visit. I didn't pray for her healing on the second visit. I just kept pouring the word of God into her. I would kneel by her bed, lay my hand on her, and pray, God, help Grandma not cast away her confidence. She knows healing is right. Healing is the thing that brought her into the Pentecostal movement many years ago. And then he continues, we used to have divine healing services every Saturday night in our church, and Grandma Jeffcoat would be carried in. Sometimes she would have a spell, and we would think she was dead. Then somehow she would start breathing again. Those were some experiences. That went on for about 6 months. We can get faith into people by teaching them, but we also need to get them into services where God is manifesting himself. One Saturday night, Grandma Jeffcoat was at the service, and as we came to the close, I had a little quick vision about her. I saw her out of her chair dancing. I looked over at her and told her it was her time. I walked down off the platform, laid hands on her, and prayed. At that moment, nothing happened. But 10 minutes later, she let out a yell, jumped out of the chair, and started dancing. She was healed. Several years later, my wife and I stopped by to visit her when she was 91. Her daughter said that she was away visiting some people and that she was always busy running around. Grandma Jeffcoat's doctor had just examined her and said that he had never seen anything quite like it before. Her heart was perfect and there wasn't a thing wrong with her. The doctor was 55 and said that he wished he was as in good a condition as she was. Grandma Jeffcoat died when she was 93. Without sickness and disease, she just fell asleep in Jesus. I'm so glad I didn't let her die of that cancer. See, that's what I'm saying. Just step in there and just say, we're not going to let people die of sickness and disease, right? Why? Because God's will is that they be healed. And that's what this woman shared. She just said, I just leave me alone, Brother Hagin. I'm just going to die and go home. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. And so he stuck with it, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. And just kind of leading into that, that is the number one hindrance. This is what I'm just taking a little comment out of F.F. Bosworth's book and Brother Hagin's book. He said that's the number one hindrance to people receiving healing from God is knowing that it is his will to heal, that he wants to heal us. And that he said, he said this in his experience in ministering healing for 60 plus years, that there are two groups of people. Those that don't believe that God heals. They just don't believe it. And then there are some that do believe, but they're just not sure he wants to heal them. You see. So he said, there's two groups. Those that don't believe that God heals at all. And then there's some that do believe he does heal, but they're just not convinced or they're not sure that he wants to heal them. You know, somebody else, it's okay, but I'm not sure. Maybe because of their life, maybe because of what they did, maybe because of what they're doing. But, you know, the devil will just beat us up to the place where we're just not sure that God is good, that he really wants to help me. Right? But he does. God's a good God. And he desires that we be in health and prosperity. He desires. What did Jesus say? I come that you may have life, life more abundantly. So Jesus was doing what? If you want to know what God thinks, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God not only thinks but does, look at Jesus' ministry. He went about doing good and healing all, not some, all that were oppressed of the devil. And so when we see that, when we want to know what God thinks, look at Jesus' ministry. What does Hebrews 13:8 say? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. So when we look at the scripture, we start to assess that healing is for us. Now, there may be some things that maybe we need to get corrected. It is God's will to heal, but maybe we've short-circuited some things. Could be. But sometimes it's just that your faith needs to be developed in a certain area. I'm not saying that be you, but God will show us. I know for me, in certain areas of my life, it was believing. But then sometimes he said, stop eating this. See, sometimes you're doing things to your body like hitting it with a hammer. And then you're saying, heal me, Lord. Wham! Heal me, Lord. And you're doing things to your body that can, you know, shorten your lifespan. I'll just say it that way. And so God knows things about you spiritually and naturally, and he'll lead you into prosperity, right? He'll lead you into health if we just listen, right? So, Father, we thank you for this few moments that we have to discuss this particular topic on healing that's been bought and paid for. We thank you that Jesus was made sickness for us. He was made sin for us, and he took sin and sickness to hell, and when it was paid for, he was raised from the dead. He was released and raised from the dead with us. And we thank you that not only is forgiveness of sin and salvation ours, but healing is ours. And Father, we have to, in order to receive, we have to believe that and receive it. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. You know, I'm just thinking of this scripture before we start. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians. I believe it's chapter 2. Let me just look here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Pages are sticking here. And verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And you know, when we look at the Word of God, we've been talking about this, the power of the seed, that the DNA or the nature of God is breathed into the Word of God. What does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is God. If you want to know what love is, look at the Word. If you want to know what healing is, look at the Word. If you want to know what salvation is and deliverance, look at the Word. And so when you look at this verse here, verse 13, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because what? When you received what? The Word of God, you received it. You didn't reject it. You received the Word of God, which you heard of us. You received it, what? Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which what? Effectually worketh also in you that what? Believe. So the Word of God will work in us effectually when we believe. And that's the point, that when we talk about any of the provisions of God, we have to do what? We have to receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And we have to receive that. And Paul wrote here that that worked effectually in who? The church of Thessalonica. It worked in them that he was speaking to, but it's to us. It works in us who what? Believe. So that word will work in us. And of course, we know this from Scripture. If you want to know how to interpret Scripture or what Scripture means. If you're not sure, find other Scripture that supports that Scripture. Don't say, well, I think that's what that means. No, you find other Scripture that interprets Scripture. So we can see here that as we're looking at that, let's jump over to Mark 11, 23 and 24, and talking about believing and receiving, or something that worketh because it effectually worketh because you believe. Let's look at Mark 11, 20, actually 22, because Jesus is talking about faith, which is believing. And so when he, in this here, this chapter, he's talking about the fig tree that he cursed the day before. And you can see here Peter in verse 21, he's reminding the master, hey, look at the fig tree which you cursed yesterday. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. So now he's talking about faith or believing. And then verse 23, he's saying, for verily I say unto you that what? Whosoever, well, that would mean all of us, right? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So believing at this point, if you just look at this, believing is not passive. You know what I mean by that? It's not, yeah, I believe. Believing what? The things that you say. So there's an action. You are saying, if you just think believing is, I believe, think about what we've been saying in some of these past lessons. That words or things you say are containers of things that you think. See, words express is another way, or you could say containers, it's a way of saying it. But words express what we're thinking about, what we're internalizing. You know, we've been saying this in past lessons. Thoughts are spiritual. You can't see a thought. So whether it's a good thought or a bad thought, whether it's a godly thought or a devilish thought, it's still spiritual. It's still spiritual. And so when we think about that, what we've been saying is that you can't see a thought, you can't touch a thought, but how do we know what you're thinking? If I'm around you long enough, you may express to me what you're thinking. I don't read your mind. I can't read your mind. I can't read what you're thinking, right? But I sure can find out what you're thinking when you start, as they say, spilling the beans. You start telling me what's on your heart, right? You're expressing what you're thinking. And so that's why we've said it's very important what we read, what we listen to, what we watch, because somebody has decided that I'm going to write this play, I'm going to write this music and express what I'm thinking. And if you feed on that long enough, then you're going to take in the spirit of that. If they're expressing fear and you feed on it long enough, or hate, or, you know, whatever, strife, or something good, you feed on that long enough, you will take in the spirit of that, because it's spiritual. The thoughts are spiritual. And so that's what we're saying here, that God's word is, what did Jesus say? My words are spirit, but he just didn't stop there. He said, and life. Yeah, the devil's words are spirit, but they're death. See? So we need to be thinking about that, that God's word is spirit and life. That means if I take enough of God's word and I get enough of God's word in me over time, then the byproduct of that, whatever I'm sowing into my heart, I will produce. I'll reap what I'm sowing. You can see that in society. How many would agree that society has progressively, in the natural, gotten worse and worse? It's gotten worse and worse. Because what has happened? Laws have changed, laws have relaxed, things that are darker or more just, you know, they're just ungodly, have been allowed to be what? Aired and everything, newspapers and people and stuff, right? It's been allowed. So those thoughts have been perpetrated not by God. The devil is doing what? He's motivating people to do good and bad things, right? And so they're expressing that. And so how much more? That's why Jesus said, don't let this light be hid under a bushel basket. If the salt has lost its saltiness, what good is it? See, so we need not lose our voice. And doesn't mean you're rude to people. But when people say, I don't believe that about God, you just say, well, you don't have to be rude. You just say, it says, in meek and humbleness, you share with people the goodness of God, that no, God is a good God, and he does love you. And God desires you to prosper and be in health when people want to say things about your master. You know, that'd be like if you were married and you know your husband or spouse and they want to start talking about you or your wife or husband or your friend, and you know better. Would you just stand there and say nothing? No, I don't think so. You'd say, you wouldn't be rude, but you'd say, I'm sorry, but that's not really how they are. You wouldn't just stand by. Now, I don't have to defend God, but I sure do have to speak up and say, no, that's not my God that I serve. He's different. The God I serve. See, and I don't know who's been feeding you some bum information about what you think God is. But let me just show you in the Word of God what he's like. See? And that's why it's always important, know the Word of God, not your opinion, because then you can bring them over here if they're willing to listen, and you share them with them the goodness of God. What did he do in my life? That's the best testimony. Right? So anyways, verse 23, it says, but shall what? Believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Right? Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, that word is desire means to ask or require of, when ye pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Right? So you can see here that the subject of Mark 11:24 is prayer. And prayer is doing what? It's asking and requiring of something of God. It's not just to gain a desire for yourself. You're asking something of God, something that he's approved of. You see? So when we see, when it says, believe that you receive them, right, you shall have them, right? That's what it said. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. That word believe there is to do what? That word in the Greek, well, it just means to have faith and trust. That's all it really means. Believe, it means that I have confidence, I have faith, I have trust in God, that I'm going to receive them. That's what that means. Believe that you receive them when? When you pray. Believe you receive them and you shall have them. Now, Shall is what? Future tense. It's not present tense. But praying is present tense. I'm praying right now, and I'm believing now to receive something. You shall have them. That's future tense, right? So when we think about healing, when we're talking about healing, believe that you receive healing. When you pray, believe that you receive healing, and what? You shall have healing. That's what it says. Therefore, what things soever you desire, I desire to be healed. Believe that you receive healing, and you shall have healing. That's what the scripture is saying here for us. Just think about, I'm going to read a few scriptures, or one scripture in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. This is a familiar scripture. 1 John, all the way in the back of the Bible, before Revelation, but 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And it says, this is the confidence. So this would be talking about believing, wouldn't it? If I have confidence, I'm believing, I have faith. So this is the confidence, or this is the faith that we have in him, talking about God, that if we ask anything according to his will. So when we look back at Mark 11, 24, therefore what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. Well, you can't just believe anything. You know, when it says whatsoever, that's true. It is whatsoever. It is believe. But it's something that's what? According to his will. Because let's look at scripture and interpret scripture with other scripture. This is saying here, this is the confidence or faith that we have in him. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24 was talking about faith, right? So this is saying, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So what does that mean? If we don't ask something according to his will, he's not hearing. He's not listening. See, so a lot of people saying things like, well, I don't know if God will hear me or not. I just don't know. Well, right here, that's not true. God says if you ask anything according to his will, oh, he'll hear me. So that means I better make sure that what I'm asking is according to his will. And we need to know, is healing his will? Well, we can go through Jesus' ministry. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, if he did it yesterday, that means he'll do it today. He'll do it tomorrow. He'll do it next week. So if he healed all under his ministry, he'll heal all today. That means I'm part of the all. That means he'll heal me, right? So don't ever get to this place of saying, I'm not sure. Maybe, no, honey, no. There's nothing that he won't heal. If he said heal all, then that means all. All means all. All means all. And it goes on, verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. Boy, that's good news. So that means if I go to him believing to receive them, believe healing, and I'm doing this according to his will, which we know healing is, then he hears me. And it says, you shall have them or healing. And this is saying the same thing. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, I'm asking for healing. We know that we have the petition that we've desired of him. We know we have the healing. We have it already. And it says, you shall have it or them. That's future tense. So you can't have the healing before the believing. Right? It says you've got to believe to receive, and then you shall receive, right? You have to believe, then you shall receive. So a lot of people are stuck in that area. They're saying, I don't see any changes. I believe God, and it didn't work. Well, did you believe? Now let's read, I'm going to read another scripture because there's the same scripture, but There's other ways that other translations share it. This is the Barclay translation, B-A-R-C-L-A-Y. It says, the reason we can approach God with complete confidence is that if we ask anything that is in accordance with his will, he listens to us. See, I like that. You know how sometimes you say, people, you wonder whether they're listening or not. If we know that he listens to us, whatsoever we ask for, anything, we know that the things for which we have asked him are already ours. They're already ours. This is another translation. It's called, this is the extent of our confidence in him. No matter what we ask, provided it is in keeping with his will, he hears us. Now, if we know that he hears us, in regard to whatever we ask, we know that we have already obtained the requests we've made of him. See, we've already obtained it. That means you believe that you've received them. Therefore, what does it say? Whatsoever we ask in prayer, believing, what things soever we desire, what? When we pray, believe that you receive them. You've got to believe that you've received it, right? And you shall have it. So the having comes after the believing. Believing what? Believing that you've received it. You know, that's sometimes, isn't it interesting? We believe we've received a raise before you see the money. You believe you received winning something before you got it. You believe you receive, you're going to get on a plane and go to some destination, and you're trusting the pilot to get you there, and you ain't got there yet. See, so we believe things in the natural. That's just natural believing. How much more a God who says, if you do this, if you ask something according to my will, I'll hear you, and I'll do it. So there should be no doubting. There should be no question that what God said, he'll do. What did he say? He says, I don't lie. That's what he said in his word. He said, I change not. That's what he said in Malachi and in Titus. He lies not. So let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, talking about receiving or believing and receiving, or receiving and believing. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. You know, it's interesting for me, I know this happens to you, but the more I look at the Word of God every time, I mean, as many, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of times that we look at the Word of God, in Psalm 119, 130, it says, the entrance of His Word does what? It giveth light, and that word giveth light, some translations said the unfolding. I think the Amplified says the unfolding of his word. Some translations say the revelation of his word. So the more we look into the word of God, the more we look at it, the more we hear it, it is light. And it begins to shine in on our hearts. And it begins to reveal more clearly God's will to us. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, what's the evidence? Your faith is the evidence of things not seen. So what's not seen? Healing's not seen. Things hoped for, that's something you expect to happen. What would that be? Healing. So faith or believing has to come first before something that's expected. You, in other words, you can't desire something without, it says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. That's, we're really saying the same thing here. It says, now faith is what? The substance. It's the ground, is some translations it says here. Let me read this here. The Berkeley translation, it says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. Faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for, a conviction of unseen realities. What's an unseen reality? Healing. In this case, we're talking about healing. So that's an unseen reality. What's the solid ground for what is hoped for? Faith. So I'm expecting healing, but I can't expect something without a solid ground, can I? I can't just receive based on a desire. I can't just hope for healing without faith. Faith forms a ground, a solid ground on which my expectation rests on. It's like these chairs. You sit in that chair. You wouldn't sit in that chair if there was a solid floor. You'd go, I don't think so. Right? Or solid ground. So you can't just go and say, I'm going to get healing without faith. Faith is a conviction, an assurance that God promised it. And if He promised it, then I can have a solid ground on something. I'm expecting healing to come. Why am I expecting healing to come? Because I believe God. He said it in His Word. He promised it. That's what my faith is. My faith is what my belief is. My belief is God's word. God said it, and it has to come to pass. And so I'm expecting it to come. That's what your hope is. Your hope is your expectation. Your hope is saying, it's coming. I've already got it. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. That's your assurance, your faith, your conviction. That's the solid ground, and you shall receive it. See, that's what this is saying. Same thing. Same thing. The authentic translation says, now faith forms a solid ground for our expectations. That's the way this says it. The proof of unseen realities. What's the proof of something unseen? My faith. What is my faith? My faith is my conviction. What is my conviction? It's something that's in my heart, and I'm not just internalizing it. I'm not just holding it on the inside. I'm expressing my faith with what? My words. I'm saying with my mouth. This is Mark 11, 23 and 24. Same thing. Faith is something that what? He said, and doubt not, but do what? Believe. You're not doubting, but you're believing what you say. See, that's what that's saying. Faith is believing something that you say. And that's why when we talk about the Johnson paraphrase, when it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, don't become separated from your words. So in other words, don't disconnect or become separated from your words. In other words, what does that mean? I'm going over here, but then halfway there I decide, well, maybe I'll go this way. So you became separated from your destination, from your intentions. So when I say, I believe God, I've prayed, and I believe I am healed. And then 3 days later, you go, well, I don't see anything. Maybe you became separated from your conviction. That's why when the scripture says in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath what? Great recompense of reward. So don't cast away your faith. Don't cast away your convictions. Don't cast away your faith. Or your confidence. Let me read some more of Hebrews 11:1. This is the Knox translation, K-N-O-X. It says, what is faith? Question mark. It is that which gives substance to our hopes. which convinces us of things we cannot see. Oh boy, I like that. It says, what is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hopes, which convinces us of things we cannot see. I'm convinced of something I can't see because it's in the Word of God. I read it. I've seen Jesus. Or, you know, we can say we saw Jesus do it in his ministry. We know it's God's will. I receive it. I'm convinced of that. That's why when Jesus said to the, I believe it was the leper, he said, if thou wilt, make me clean. And Jesus said, he said, I will, be thou clean. He came asking, if you will, you know, cleanse me. And the man, and Jesus responded, I will, be thou clean. So the man came questioning whether he would or not. Jesus said, no, I will. You're healed. Go your way, be healed. Some other translations, let's just read a few more here. The God's Word translation, it says, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Boy, I love this. Oh, that's good. God's Word translation. It says, faith, or you could say conviction or confidence, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Oh my goodness. So think about that in the area of healing. Faith assures us of something we expect. Faith assures me that I can expect healing in my body and convinces us the existence of that healing which we cannot see. See, that's why when people, not saying they don't start in faith, they may be convinced, but when you let conditions and situations affect you, this is where the devil fights. He begins to question. Maybe you didn't get it. It's been 10 days. It's been 6 months. Maybe. That's like Brother Hagin said. What did he do? He worked with that lady, Grandma Jeffcoat, and that thing. He said he worked with her for how many months? 6 months. And she, coming to his meetings, said she had a spell. A spell means, you know, that's how they talk. She had a spell. Yeah, he said they thought she died. And then she'd revive. But after 6 months, he said, you're ready now. And he saw a little mini vision. Said, get up, and he said, I saw you dancing, get up. And he said after 10 minutes, she jumped up out of that wheelchair. She was healed. From head to toe. See. So faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. I'll read one more. This is the Weymouth translation. Now faith is a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope and a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. So faith, well, what it was saying back in this earlier translation, faith forms a solid ground for our expectation or expectations, the proof of unseen realities. So I can rest and be absolutely convinced something is coming that's God's will because I've asked him something in faith. What does faith mean? Faith begins, you know, we heard so many writers before us, faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't have faith in something you don't know is their will. You know, I can't have faith for you to do something for me if you don't tell me you're going to do it. I can't say, well, I think Robert's going to do this for me. And he looks at me and goes, really? I don't think so. Right? But if he says to me, I'm going to do this for you, then I can have faith that he will do that. If he's a man of his word and he tells me he's going to do that, then I can have faith or confidence or assurance he's going to do that. And I can do what? Rest and expect. My expectation is he's coming. But if he doesn't tell me that, then how can I be assured of that? I can't. I can't just come and say, well, I think Robert's coming to do this for me. That's my desire. I mean, you can desire all you want. If he doesn't tell me he's going to, then that's faulty. That's fault. That's presumption on my part. Is it not? That's presumption. Because I'm presuming he's going to do something and he didn't tell me he was. So that's where I say it's important. Find out what the Bible says. Find out what God said he will do for you. That's bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. If he sealed it in the blood, and it's sealed with that, and it's bought and paid for, and Jesus expressed it in his ministry, then we can rest on that. We can have faith for that. And then I can have what? Confidence that God said he'll do it. What is that little thing that people say? God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. Right? God said it. If he said it, I can believe it. Because he doesn't lie. Right? And I think what's important in all of this is that, you know, when the scripture talks about believing and receiving, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Let me ask another question. How many want to hear the Holy Ghost clear and clearer and want clear direction in their life every day? Well, we all do. We all do. And so most people say, well, I'm just not sure if that's him or not. Why are you not sure? Why do you say that? See, and I'm talking even with all of us. That includes me. Because we all operate in different levels of spiritual growth. But as you grow, God's going to direct you in maybe different ways. And he may do something that's different in your life. And you need to be absolutely convinced. That was the Holy Ghost speaking to me. That was God speaking to me. He told me that. And so when we say, well, I'm just not sure if that was him or not. Well, what we need to do is say, what things soever you desire. Will that be a desire? Yes, it would be. Not just healing, but a desire to hear him more accurately and more clearly. Well, then what? It's his will. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. He sent in John. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send you another comforter who's going to help you and reveal the truth to you. Right? That would mean reveal the truth concerning healing and all the blessings of God. So we need to then take some scripture and say, well, look, it is God's will for me to hear him more accurately. It is God's will for me to hear him clearly. So then, just like Leanne Sosaby was here, she started saying, well, God, you don't speak to me. I don't hear you. You never talk to me. He said, are you calling me a liar? And she said, well, no, Lord, I'm not calling you a liar, but I just don't hear your voice clearly. I just don't hear you clearly. And she began to, you know, go back and forth as we do, rant at God, right? And say things. And so finally, he began to reveal to her, he said, how did you receive me? By faith. How did you ask me into your heart? By faith. and you had to believe to receive them, and you shall receive them. So how do we receive a more accurate voice? How do we hear the Holy Ghost more clearly, more, not directly, but more clearly and accurately? How do we do that? By faith. You're going to begin to say every day, I thank you, Lord. Because what are we talking about? Faith is what? The solid ground for our expectations. What does this say? God's word. Faith assures us, faith does, assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. You can't see the Holy Ghost. He lives in you. You can't see healing. It's available. And so you have to have faith that it's God's will for me to be healed, just like you have to have faith that God wants you to hear him more clearly. Why would he give you the Holy Ghost to not hear him clearly and direct you accurately? He does. But we have to do what? Not just wonder, we have to be convinced and say, I believe he directs me. I believe the Holy Ghost speaks clearly to me. I hear his voice. And when do you do that? You're saying something in faith even when you don't hear him. What does it say? Believe you receive something and then you shall have it. So the receiving comes after the believing. So you have to believe you hear the Holy Spirit accurately and clearly before you do. And so the more you do, and the more you yield to those promptings, and you yield to the thoughts that come, the more he will speak to you. The more he will lead you. The more he will reveal to you. I know I've learned this. You know, you have thoughts. You know, you'd say, boy, you know, how many have said, boy, I sure would like to hear the Holy Ghost like they do. Anybody ever think that? Yeah. Be honest. Yeah. We all have. Yeah. Boy, I want to hear them accurately like they do. Well, how do you do? You have to do what? Say, I do believe. I hear him accurately. I do believe. I hear the Holy Spirit within me. And as you do, he will accommodate you. He will reveal himself more accurately, more clearly. The more time you spend with him, the more you'll know him. The more time you spend with God, the more time you spend alone and in his word, the more you'll know him. So if we can see it, and I'm just going to share one other scripture here. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, this is what? Sickness, disease. When we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that what? Are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Glory to God. Sickness and disease is temporal. It's temporal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. Let me just give you one other scripture. We'll pick up next week. You know, I think sometimes, you know, I've heard so many things. You know, I shared this last year. An experience I had, and it was quite a, to me, you know, I was going down last year, I may do it this year again, but last year I was just impressed to go down to Florida, visit my mom. She was having her 94th birthday. This year she'll be 95, just spunky and going as ever. But anyways, so, and she don't talk disease and sickness and don't know the word like we do. She just don't talk about it. She don't talk about it, doesn't complain. And so anyways, I was just impressed to go down. We're going, you know, a few of us were going down to celebrate her birthday. Took her out to the Ritz and just had a nice time. So anyways, as I was making these arrangements, I heard down here, pick this flight. I was going through flights. Nope, not that one. Nope, nope. And I was hearing this down here. No, no. And I'd get a nah. And I got a green light, so to speak. Felt comfortable. Take this flight, this one. So I told my other siblings, I said, okay, I'll rent the car. I'm going down. I'll meet at this time, right? And we'll all rendezvous. And it was a later flight. So anyways, go through all of this, flying out of Newark, and there were a lot of thunderstorms. This was in July. A lot of thunderstorms in Florida, so it jammed all the flights up. So it was a zoo in the airport. You couldn't move. I mean, all these terminals, it was just like a sardine can. And you're just standing like this. Forget the seats. People were sitting on the floor. So anyways, we were backed up for about 4 hours. So I was going to get a little snack or something, you know, whatever. Just stand and get a water or a snack or something. And I heard down here, no, just stand right here. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll obey. So now, as I'm standing there, this person comes by me. I'm not paying attention. It's just hundreds and hundreds of people. Hey, Pastor Ed, how you doing? Okay. So when I looked, I said, oh, okay, I recognize the person. She used to come to this church. And so we're just small talking and so forth. And she works for an airline. She said, well, you know, I'm just coming back from some training. I'm coming in from Florida, Orlando, and blah, 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 blah. And so we're just talking, right? And then she said, I'm mad at God. I am upset. I am really mad at God. She said, my sister died. We prayed. She's a Christian. She died. And I'm mad because she didn't get healed. She was upset. Mad. Said, I'm not going to church anymore. I'm not going to church. I'm not reading my Bible. So forth and so on. And I said, well, I said, okay. I just listened. And I said, well, you know, God loves you. And she just kept saying to me, this is really strange how we bumped into one another. And I said to myself, you think? I said, you think? I said, God orchestrated all of this in a sea of people. The chances of us crossing paths was like minuscule at best. And God was leading me, saying, no, just stand right here in this spot. And take this flight. And I thought, God, you are such a loving God. I mean, I wept afterwards because I said to myself, here's a person that's mad at God, but he ain't mad at her. He loves her. And loves her, even though she's just, you know, just upset, doesn't understand it, what's going on, how come her sister died, all of this. And her sister's in heaven rejoicing. Yes. All of that happened, and you know, we miss a person. That there's no doubt about that. She misses her sister, loved her, but she's in eternity. And you're mad at God because he didn't answer your prayer or her prayer. And I thought, so I just listened, and you know, I wasn't impressed to say anything, just to sit and listen. And I said, you know, I said, God orchestrated this, that we bump into one another. And I said, God loves you and cares for you. And I said, he's going to work all this out, you know, and minister to you. And I just shared with her, I said, you know, there's a lot of things that we just don't know about the other individual. We just don't know. We don't know. We could have gotten together and agreed in prayer and said, you know, we believe and pray, and the other person unhooked. Because it's about God's word. It's the principle. If What is Matthew 18, 19? It says, if two of you touch, agree, is touching, or agree on earth, is touching anything that they shall ask. Well, healing would be that. It shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. So, if the scripture's true, and it is, if we agree, healing has to come to pass. Unless the Holy Ghost says something to the contrary. When I say contrary, not contrary to the word, but there can be things going on that you just don't know. I've heard Brother Hagin, I mean, we've heard things where people, Brother Hagin said this one time, he went and prayed for this young man. He was young. And he said he didn't understand it. And the Holy Ghost said, he has put things in motion years ago. And he said, he's the only one that can reverse it, not you. He put words in motion. And he found out later, after the fact, the family said, for years, as a young boy, he said, I'm not going to live past this age. And they would say, no, don't. Why are you saying that? And so that's what Brother Hagin, he found out afterwards through the family that this boy had put things in motion. What? Your words. And he said, you can't reverse them. That's what the Holy Ghost told Brother Hagin. You can't reverse them. Because he put them in motion and he had to reverse them. He had to stop them. And so the Lord just let him come home. He was a Christian. So there's a lot of things that's what I'm saying. The scripture is God's will. But then sometimes God may reveal something by his spirit and say, such and so. That doesn't make the word not true. That doesn't mean that the word won't work. And that's why a lot of times when people get angry at God because they don't think that God answered their prayer, there just might be something that you don't know. And we just have to trust that God is a good God and that he's good. And okay, rejoice that your friend or your husband or your wife or your sister or baby or whatever is in heaven in eternity and that God is good. But all of that said, healing is the will of God. And we can't not wonder, well, I wonder after 3 days, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. Did the Holy Ghost say anything to you? That's why it's important to hear his voice accurately. Know it. And I'm going over, but I'll just share this. In 2000, see, I took the word of God literally. In 1999, 2000, my stomach was in turmoil. And I stood on his word. I said, I've got it. And after a year of pain, I mean excruciating pain, after a year, I'm standing in the shower. And I'm singing with the choir, doing all these things. And I am literally in turmoil. Couldn't sleep at night. Just in pain, excruciating pain. And I've said, this word I received. I'm not moved by what I see. And I remember in the shower, came back from vacationing with family, and I'm standing in the shower, just standing there enjoying the hot water, and I heard softly down here, not big and loud, just a soft, still small voice. You could have missed it. I heard the Holy Ghost say, if you don't go to the doctor and have your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. What he said. And so, me, I make light of it, but I was doing this. July, August, September, October, November, December. That's 6 months. And I didn't do anything. I went 2 weeks because I was so convinced of this. And then after 2 weeks, I said, fool, that was the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He knows something you don't know. You better go. And so I did. I went, you know, from this to that, and so we got it turned around without medicine. It was diet. And so I went and got all that turned around. Didn't take long. But I asked this doctor after about 4 or 5 months after this was all cleared up. It actually cleared up in a few weeks. And then I'm struggling with this for a year. Because I look back, if I had never changed my diet, I'd ask God to heal me, and I didn't change anything in the natural. See, so it was necessary for me to change some things with some habits, you see. So he could have healed me instantly. And then what would have happened? I've been back in there again asking God to heal me in another 6 or 8 months. So I needed to make some changes. So anyways, I asked this doctor. I said, hey, doc, I said, how bad was this? This is what he told me. He said, if you'd waited one more week, they would have opened you up. And I said, bingo, you wouldn't have seen the end of the year. So that's why I say it's important. Trust the Word of God, but don't ignore the leading of the Holy Ghost. Don't ignore His leadings, because it's life and death, you see. So healing is the will of God. Let's say that. Healing is the will of God for me. And I hear the Holy Spirit accurately. He leads me and guides me into all truth. See, we take the Word of God, but then He leads me in what? Guides me into all the truth. See? Praise God. Amen. God is good, isn't He?